Do you have Kobe Bryant as a top 10 player of all time? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you, Pearl. I know this is near and dear to you because you went to the same high school as Kobe Bryant, which I'm surprised it took 27 seconds and you didn't interject with that. But the question about whether or not he's a top 10 player of all time is getting some attention. Bleacher Report put out a top 100 players of all time, and Kobe Bryant is on the outside of the top 10 looking in. He's ranked 11th.
So, first of all, it's funny. Kobe is not that big a deal in Philadelphia. He is because he went to Lower Merion, but we don't claim him because he kind of rejected the cities. He's a much bigger deal in L.A. But I read the social media post on the BR Report, and I thought there'd be a lot of LeBron Jordan debate.
Yeah,
right.
Because Jordan's
one, LeBron's two.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the list is pretty much like every other list, except, and Kobe is 11. Okay. So I'm like, yeah, that's where he is on most of the ESPN list. He's somewhere between 8 and 11. But everyone on Twitter is like, Kobe should be ahead of LeBron. Kobe should be at least top 3. Kobe this, Kobe that. I was really surprised. I think it's generational, but it's a really, are we getting it all wrong? Is it not Jordan, LeBron, and Kobe should be in that mix? I think a lot of people think that.
I think
11 is fine. I might have him a little bit higher. I might have him 8, 9, but I did not put him in my top 3, but I wonder if I'm going against the current there.
I think you are. I think that Kobe has even grown in influence and popularity, obviously not just since his tragic death, which is so sad. But I think the influence that Kobe had, we're realizing, was even greater than we thought. And we thought it was pretty big at the time. And I'm going to be honest, I think he definitely is top 10, without a doubt. And I don't know if this is controversial, but I'd have him in over Steph Curry, who on this list is 10th. And I understand that Steph Curry also helped to change the game. I get that. But Kobe was has more finals MVPs. And I just think that Kobe is, it's tough to say talent, but I would put him over Steph Curry. Now, we can debate that. Wait. Who had the bigger impact on the game? Maybe nobody has had it more than Steph Curry and Michael Jordan, but I think that Kobe's influence is a lot greater on this generation, even right there with Steph Curry.
No, I was saying that people want him 1, 2, or 3.
1, 2, or 3.
Of course you could put him above Steph Curry. That's fine. People want him above LeBron James, Maggie.
Well,
I'm telling you, there's a lot. This is just social media users, but there feels like, Steph Curry, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with putting him over Duncan if you wanted to. Like, I don't have a huge problem with that. But, like, people want him over LeBron James.
I don't know if I can see that. So he has more titles than LeBron. Are we just doing the rings thing that Kobe's got 5 and LeBron's got 4?
There just seems to be a magical appreciation of Kobe Bryant. I mean, listen, Kobe Bryant, if you look at the numbers, it didn't have quite the shooting percentage of Michael Jordan, LeBron James. I think numbers-wise, he was a little bit below those guys. So I think that's why he falls. Just to me, it's Jordan 1, LeBron 2. Now, a lot of people are like, Bill Russell played against plumbers and firemen. I saw a lot of that.
Chamberlain, I see a lot of that too.
Well, Chamberlain was a little lower on this, but I don't know. I mean, Kareem. I mean, you're going to knock out Kareem for Kobe? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, the guy has every record. He won millions of titles. He was dominant. I guess you're going center. Magic, I saw a lot of people saying like, oh, Magic, what did Magic do? I'm like, what do you mean, what did Magic do?
That's a funny thing to say.
Yeah.
What did Magic do? You know, I think you're right about it's this generation, and if you're talking about Kareem, a bias against the big man.
BR report, right, the reactions. BR report did put the centers up high.
Right.
But I think people are under, like, was Kobe better than Magic Johnson? Dominated the sport. I know he didn't score a lot of points, but he dominated the game. He was the first 6'10 point guard. I don't know. I'm still putting Magic over Kobe, but I think if we put a poll up today, I think Kobe wins that poll.
Do you think it has to do with the Mamba mentality, right? Like, not that Magic didn't also have, you know, this incredible aura and also this a mystique, him being a mentor to other players. I mean, Magic had all of that too, just did it in a little bit of with a smile on his face as opposed to a grimace.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The idea of Kobe sort of being the ultimate killer, like Magic Johnson wasn't a killer. I'm telling you, he was. He just kill you with a smile, and that almost hurts even more. But I think that the Kobe, just his outsized, like, I don't say personality, or how people, the stars of today, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, how they credit Kobe so much with their own development, I think has catapulted him into a different stratosphere. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when Kobe, the day Kobe retired, and after he had that great final game, I don't think that day people were putting him as a top 10 player.
No, I think he was 10 to 15.
Something like that. And so something has changed since he stopped playing. Now, as far as Laker, that him over Magic, a Laker fan would have to tell you that. And I don't know that real diehard Laker fans are actually putting Kobe over Magic Johnson. I don't think they are.
No.
Even young ones, I don't think they are.
And there's another one. I kind of thought it was funny. Like, Larry Bird is below Tim Duncan, like, that they're totally different players, but I'm like, Larry Bird would eat a lot of these guys for lunch. I mean, Larry Bird was ridiculous. So it's kind of hard.
Maybe because his career wasn't as long as Tim Duncan, because of his back issues?
Listen, he couldn't cover Duncan, and Duncan couldn't cover him. I mean, it's hard to match up centers. Like, they wouldn't have been a good matchup one way or the other. But, yeah, I mean, Kobe, by the way, back to Kobe, only won one MVP. You know,
yeah, he's, two finals MVPs, though.
He's a career 44% shooter, where Jordan, LeBron took a lot of shots and were right around 50%. I just think that they were slightly better. Yeah, and also Kobe, back to Mamba mentality, was doing a bit of a Jordan impersonation.
Definitely.
Can you show? He was sort of the second. He was the carbon copy. Does that put him a little further down?
Okay, so we're talking about a Bleacher Report list that has Kobe Bryant as the 11th best basketball player of all time, and the Kobe fans are outraged by this. Now, here's the question. Is it best player or your favorite player? Because that's also a different thing. If your favorite player was Kobe, then then no one's going to argue with that. That's arguing with feelings.
Nobody's ranking your favorite player. Best player ranking. That's not how the debate works. Vince Carter would be everyone's number one, in my opinion. I'd be my number one.
I'm just saying, I wonder if that's because Kobe may have been their favorite player, if now that's getting confused with he was actually greater than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Again, it's hard to compare centers and other positions, apples and oranges, maybe, but maybe that's what we're watching here.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's the Mamba mentality. I think that's what it is. I think that's what people are viewing him. And also, some people like scorers and wing players more than centers. You know who else people were mad about? Akeem is 12.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
Pretty low, but who Shaq is 6. That's the one. That one was a little interesting. That's pretty high for a Shaq listing. I think ESPN has him a little lower.
I don't actually think that's so weird about him. I really don't. I mean, you live through the Shaq era, you realize that, you know, teams had to design entire defenses were created simply to stop him. Now, you could say, well, Shaq was created because he couldn't hit free throws, so he had a clear hole in his game. And I know sometimes he didn't come in the best shape, but I mean, 3 straight finals where your finals MVP, all 3, it was a dominant era from Shaq.
Play him if you want to.
Is he better than Kobe? Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, they're so different. Also, you think they changed for Shaq. They changed the entire rule book for Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, that's true.
But I didn't even know you could talk.
The sport was still like in its infancy then.
Infancy? I don't know. I mean, it was, what? He played till 75.
Right. When did the league form? 50? ABA in the 40s and the NBA?
Yeah, late 40s, I believe.
Yeah, late
merge.
40s. The Knicks were established in 1946, so.
I don't know if that's infancy.
Well, okay. They were still showing games on tape delay. How about that?
Mm-hmm. There were some games in black and white when he started.
When you were out, Maggie, we had Angelo Cataldi on, the sports talk radio host from Philadelphia. He said it's ridiculous to not have Wilt Chamberlain as a number one athlete of all time.
Yeah.
He's it's insane.
Philly's finest. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. No, Wilt's numbers are beyond gaudy.
Yeah, I mean, Kobe got 81, and we were like, this is the greatest accomplishment any of us had ever seen, and Wilt got 100. That Kobe 81 game was crazy, too. If you look at that tape, that he's higher than 11.
Yeah. I was working at the NBA at the time. That was nuts. George is in L.A. George, are there Laker fans who are putting Kobe Bryant above Magic Johnson?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, Kobe Bryant, in my opinion, is be like number 4 in the Lakers. You got Magic, you got Kareem, you got even Jerry West, who was a great shooter and a bad team, but very, very great shooter years ago, and it's a generational thing. Kobe Bryant is very popular because of his death and the current situation in the world, but as far as top 10, I don't think so, my opinion.
Yeah, George, you also want to mention something. We're talking about SEC media days and whether the SEC should be able to call the shots on the future of college football. You say yes or no?
No. Excuse me, I was going to say another word. Absolutely not. They're very jealous of Texas Tech right now. Thank God for Cody Campbell, that billionaire, that just leveled the playing field and throw the blue bloods. You can, you know, get in line. Deion Sanders even made a comment, said good for them. You know, they signed 23 blue chippers, Texas Tech, and it's going to change the college landscape. Cody Campbell is also helping the women's softball team, the basketball, the whole facility. Mahomes is involved in too. I like this. I like the level of the playing field.
George, thank you for the phone call. EJ, you want to say something?
I think he makes actually a fantastic point. That really, I was just talking to Manny about it, because in some ways, this is like the SEC scheming. Because when you see other schools, because Miami now is loaded up, Texas Tech is loaded up, SMU is loaded up, these other programs that were not spending money like that before now saying, hey, listen, we have money. We have billionaire boosters who want to help us. Let's throw our money into our programs and let's show that we're like an SEC school. I remember, I believe it was Andy Staples, or no, excuse me, it was Josh Pate who was like, I visited Miami last year and I felt like I was walking at an SEC school. The athletes that were there, the facilities around there, you would have never seen the difference. So the SEC is smart. They're saying, let's get these rules in now that already taken it, that already give us an advantage. So when these teams catch up, we'll already have the bias of people saying, well, the SEC is just better than everybody.
Right.
And we know these other programs are also stepping up. Pearl mentioned Duke is spending $6 million on a quarterback. Like, it's very wise of them to say, oh, guys, remember, we're still the best. When this playing field is going to be leveled very soon.
Okay, so are you calling BS then on the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who said, listen, we'll just stay at 12. Like, he's kind of doing that whole thing, too. You think that's just a whole bunch of, like, just posture?
I think they know that the field is being leveled, and they saw Miami go into the swamp and whoop Florida. They saw Cal walk into Auburn and whoop Auburn. I think they saw these games and said, whoa, remember, guys, we're still the best. We're still the best, even though there are other schools who are now also saying, hey, if money is the name of the game, then Texas Tech could say, why not us?
Yeah, Texas Tech and SMU. So, and some new players may have entered the chat. So
to counter them, why do they want 5-11, not 4-4 or 4-2-2? Why does Sankey, and a lot of people want just 16 teams for SEC? Like, they don't want these automatic bids necessarily.
Well, they want that because if we haven't established, like you've been saying, and a lot of folks say all the time, is that, listen, we know the SEC has the best players, the best teams. And that may, if that is the case right now, let's say even if we agreed with that being the case right now, the chance that that is still the case 5-10 years from now may be less, because there will be other schools who will be making the same amount of investments in football as the SEC schools. So to me, that's why they want to get the ranking system in there, because we're working with an SEC bias automatically.
Right.
When these schools get really good, we'll say, okay, yes, SMU was really good, but I mean, they didn't play anybody. When in reality, these other schools are also making the same investments in football. Maybe the talent gap isn't that wide at all.
So shouldn't they want 4 automatic bids just to be safe then?
Well, by the way, they're saying now they want the 5 plus 11, right? They want the 5 conference champions and 11 at-large bids. I'm not sure when push comes to shove. We have a lot of time between now and December 1st. December 1st is when the deadline, so to speak, of when, I think because of the TV contracts, the deadline to see whether they're going to go from 12 teams to 16 and then how they're going to do it.
Yeah, but it feels like the sentiment in the SEC is to even open up even more, because they think they're worried that, like, oh, Big Ten's going to get some, like, crappy team in with their 4th automatic bid and knock out Alabama. So I think maybe they're caught in the moment, but I think they want as much looseness as possible. They don't want ACC Big 12 to get 2 automatic bids. Because they, like, last year, that would have cost South Carolina a trip to the playoff if you had the 4-4-4-2. So they want, I think... Yeah, I understand what EJ's saying. There's definitely truth to that, but I think they're confident enough. Like, if we have 16 teams, we are going to beat out those other teams. I think they can outcompete those schools, and I think they have a reason to believe. Like, why would, like, Tennessee and Alabama, they have massive advantages. Just, like, where they are in the country, their history, their fan bases, their boosters. I don't think they're as scared of these other schools as people think. I mean, Texas Tech, everyone keeps talking about them. You know, there's no tradition, though. They've never won anything, and they're in a small town in Texas. Like, they're competing against Baylor, A&M, Texas, SMU, Texas State. Like, it's not like a guarantee that it's going to be easy for them to beat Tennessee. Look at Tennessee. They're perfectly situated to be dominant.
I know, but you could say they're in Texas, Texas Tech, obviously, and so the pool there of high school players to recruit is just so much bigger, and you could be a major player that's stealing a recruit away from literally from UT, from the Longhorns.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like UT's having any problems. They just got another quarterback yesterday, right? Like they seem to be doing fine. I don't know. I'm not worried about the SEC. I think they're going to be really good. Look at those programs we're talking about. Like, no, can you really see LSU falling off?
No one's worried about them. It's just, should they, if everything's going to be a little bit more equal and if there is more parity, will they still deserve to have this outsized influence? That's what we're asking. Yes, now, yes. Like, in the way that college football has been done, sure. But what is this, what does this college football look like in 5 or 10 years? Maybe Texas Tech does have a little bit more winning under their belt, and they're one of the new big, you know, the new big programs. Like, I talk about Oregon. I know Oregon's been around for a long time, but Oregon has become like a blue blood recently when no one was calling them that, you know, back in Bear Bryant's days.
Well, I mean, Oregon's been a blue blood since what year? Like, oh, when did that start? Like 08 or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're like a new blue blood, if you will.
Right, right, right.
And so I don't know if that's an oxymoron, but they caught up quickly because of money. And that's what everyone has access to
now. SEC doesn't want too many automatic bids going out there. If people, the committees are going to recognize the new Oregon. Like, honestly, like the way you guys are describing it, like if Duke becomes really good, I think the committees... You guys have no faith in the committee, obviously, and you want these automatic bids, but why not just keep it loose? Why put regulation when no regulation is necessary? I don't understand it.
I think because the SEC, I would say bias, but the SEC, you know, because of that tradition, I think is going to always carry the day, even if it's not the case in the moment.
But aren't you, which, I mean, obviously, let's say four, I keep going to 4-4, 2-2, 4. Yeah. There's a much greater chance you'll have a team in there that doesn't deserve to be there if you have these rules that I don't think they're necessary. Like, give the committee some credit. I mean, it's better than an automatic bid. Say the Big 12 has a totally down year and you have to put an 8-5 team into the 12-team playoff. Is that good? No, nobody wants that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You're welcome to weigh in. Should the SEC have this much say and control over the future of college football? We also have this hilarious story. I can't believe someone actually said this out loud, but yet they did. We'll get to that next.
No, I ain't says I'm going to knock your ass out.
Welcome back. Got a couple questions for you. One, do you consider Kobe Bryant a top five NBA player of all time? I think that's where... The big question is, after Bleacher Report put out a top 100 and he's ranked 11th. Now, most people believe Kobe's around 10, something like that. Maybe quibble with him, Steph Curry.
Well, I don't know if most people believe that. I don't know anymore.
Well, now it seems like that was the consensus when he retired. And now, because of his influence, Mamba mentality, and obviously his tragic death, now is he more into people's top five? I mean, you're really putting him... over Magic in some
actually,
cases?
I'm willing to have the discussion at number two.
What?
Just because I know how much it would drive you LeBronites crazy. If LeBron was three, oh, that would be just hysterical. But go on social media. A lot of people are like, Kobe's better than LeBron.
Well, there are some people who believe that LeBron is three because Kareem is two. I've seen that before.
Nah, I don't think those people have my Twitter handle because most of it was... there is an argument. You could say Kobe won more than LeBron. You could say it. I mean, LeBron is they're just different, too. It's a weird comparison. There's something like Kobe was more of a killer than LeBron. LeBron's just a more talented player. Is that fair?
Yeah, different kind of killer, right? Like, LeBron had this more sort of passive-aggressive mentality, whereas Kobe was aggressive-aggressive.
Yeah, killer. Yeah. There's no different kind of killer. Kobe was a killer. LeBron... waffled back and forth on that.
Well, and Kobe was also doing a Michael Jordan impersonation. So I think that was him, but he was also emulating his hero.
So you're saying that LeBron was a passive aggressive killer?
I think like he was sort of a different type of leader, I guess. I think these guys, you know my stance on this. Yeah. These guys are all killers. And Magic Johnson was a killer, even though he'd smile in your face.
Yeah, but I think I've talked about this, the Jordan scale, Jordan being the ultimate killer, Kobe right there next to him. LeBron was not there. You know, when a guy comes to the draft, you say, is that guy a killer? If you say he's like Kobe Bryant, it's like, whoa, that's really a killer. So, Yeah, I don't think LeBron is there. And LeBron is just 6'9 and can run a 4.5 40 and see the entire court and dunk on everybody and is unbelievable. I just don't think his mentality was quite Kobe's.
Well, I mean, LeBron's calculated, man. I mean, we talk about his agent putting out statements and stuff, and he's always trying to get to the best team. Like, you might quibble with that, but he's Machiavellian. Like, he's seeing the chessboard here. And the court, what are you going to say? LeBron's not aggressive? Like, just because he's a good passer?
Yes, on in his career, he was not quite aggressive enough at times.
Well, then you'd say, are you saying the same thing about Magic Johnson? No. And he was a great passer.
I mean, the early criticism was LeBron stepped back in the key moments. That was the early criticism. Then he fixed that. I will give credit for that. But you just said that, like, LeBron was cold and calculating the offseason. Kobe said goodbye to Shaq. I want to win one on my own. That's killer. That is Michael Jordan didn't care what four players were around him. He was a total killer. He's like, I'm going to beat you, and then I'm going to follow you in the parking lot and make fun of you.
But I think that's some of why people rank Kobe so high is that it's this folklore that's associated with him beyond just basketball.
Even true, by the way. And also, in getting Shaq jettisoned out of town was not a smart thing.
No, he did say it was smart, but that's what killers do.
I know, but you can't give him credit for that. He could have had more rings if he had just played nice with Shaq.
In a way, though, you know, if you're doing an all-time list, you definitely give him credit for that. The fact that he won without Shaq is the only reason we're talking about
Shaq won without him sooner, earlier. They had to have this weird trade that had to get, you know, nixed by the NBA first. David Stern wouldn't let it happen with Chris Paul, and then somehow Pau Gasol gets served up on a silver platter because the Lakers are the luckiest freaking franchise on earth.
But Kobe's last two titles were legacy changing, 100%.
Well, Ron Artest won him a title, to be honest, in a game 7. But no, I mean, listen, he gets credit. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 on Kobe. Quickly before we get to Bogish, this was just funny to me, and it's Buddy Hield, and he was on ESPN talking about how he went to go visit the Roman Colosseum, but was unimpressed.
I was a little disappointed when I went to Colosseum.
Why?
Because Gladiator, I watched Gladiator, and I was I thought Maximus was a real warrior. So I'm going to the Colosseum, screaming Maximus, and like, my tall guy said he's not real.
Did you see Gladiator too?
I did.
Not as good.
Not as good.
Hell of a follow-up.
Ooh, I haven't seen it. That's an interesting note.
Put it on your summer to-do list. And somewhere the entire Oklahoma History Department just like had a collective stroke.
Hey, him and Trey Young.
But did we all think Maximus was real? Also, that's not a reason to downgrade the Roman Colosseum, which finished construction in the year 80. Like, it's amazing that the Roman Colosseum is still standing. It's a sight to behold, Pearl. Can you actually dock it points as a tourist because Maximus isn't real? Also, that's no one thought Maximus was real, right?
But I could see that. They don't really indicate that it's a totally made up story. If I told you, for example, that Maximus was inspired by a real person, which
as far as
I know, is not true. But I'm just saying, like, you could believe that. So, like, it's in the realm. I don't think it's the craziest historical error I've ever heard.
But it's Buddy Hield's fault that he didn't know that Maximus wasn't real. That's not the Roman Colosseum's fault. You're not gonna give it one star on the tourist attractions because you didn't look it up.
But isn't that, like, a thing? The younger generations are proud of their total ignorance of history.
True.
Yeah. Like, that's like a Gen Z thing. Like, we don't know anything that happened before 2016, and you're all irrelevant. Yeah, like, that's a thing.
What about around the year 16? You don't want to know anything about that time?
Hey, no, they don't.
Buddy Hield, I have bad news for you. King Kong never climbed the Empire State Building, so
what?
Sorry.
Yeah.
That never happened.
What, Superman isn't real either?
No.
Although it does sound like everyone loves that movie.
But I bet you everybody in this room could be fooled. There's probably movie characters that we thought were real that are not. I'm sure that happens.
I was trying to think about it. I'm sure there are, but I hate that the Roman Colosseum's catching a stray for the ingenuity.
It'll be okay, Maggie. It's a building.
It's going to outlast us all, clearly.
Are we sure?
It is one of those buildings that I've never seen someone not say it's impressive. Like, I have no people who've gone there. My fiance's gone there. I have family that's gone there. I have friends that have gone. Everyone always takes the picture and say, wow, this was amazing.
Yeah, the Acropolis would be another one where you stand there.
Looks unimpressive on TV.
Stonehenge.
And in pictures. If I wanted to go see a Colosseum-looking thing, I would just go to, like, Madison Square Garden or Barclays Center or something.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. You just get a hot dog while you're there, too.
Delicious.
I thought you were going to say the L.A. Coliseum. I was like, please, Manny, don't say the L.A. Coliseum.
Nassau Coliseum. It is falling apart.
People. Both of them are falling apart.
Yeah, the L.A. Coliseum has no Wi-Fi in its press box. That is, it's barbaric.
How does anyone live?
Oh, it's the worst of the worst.
It's like Roman times. Roman Coliseum times. No Wi-Fi. Basically the same thing. Just, yeah, a dark day. Anyway, do you want to venture a overrated tourist destination? By the way, Roman Colosseum, not making the list. Nothing in Rome would make that list. Have you ever looked at the Vatican? Also not overrated. Unbelievable.
This is a humble brag about Maggie's travels.
That's Me and Dan Patrick both retiring to Italy, just hopefully probably with a couple different zeros in the bank account. Is there an overrated tourist attraction? I think we can only speak for our own city here.
Okay, then I'll
Times Square.
Well, the Empire State Building.
I don't know. That's kind of cool.
What's so cool about the Empire State Building? It's a building, Maggie.
I've been there, Manny.
You go to the step, you look up, and you're like, all right, there it is. What's next?
You go to the 85th floor, Manny, and you look out, and you can see all of New Jersey.
Oh, wonderful. We get a view of America's armpit.
I think Times Square is a little overrated, but that's just me. Pearl, do you have an overrated?
Wait, you don't like being harassed by weirdos in Elmo suits who smell like weed?
I'll tell you what. I love being overstimulated by all the screens on Times Square.
Well, everyone in New York hates Times Square.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I can't
stand
it. But
I love going to Vegas and seeing their lights. I guess I'm just sick of our lights.
Okay, Statue of Liberty's great. I love that. Ellis Island's amazing. Yeah, What's some other famous ones? I'm trying to think of the rest of the country.
Like Grand Canyon? Does anyone go there?
So I'm going to the Grand Canyon for the first time in my life this summer.
Amazing.
Exciting.
I want to go.
I'm terrified because I'm afraid of heights. And there's no fence.
I, too, am afraid of heights. That's why I'm not going to the Empire State Building.
National parks never miss. They're always amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Are you going to do a helicopter ride over the Grand Canyon?
No. That's scary. Helicopters are terrifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. What's a... Do you have an overrated one?
Times Square. But I'm trying to think. For the most part, I try to, even if the lines are long and it can be a little, things can be touristy and still be cool.
I'll say this. I mean, I've told her about how much I love Los Angeles. The Walk of Fame is very Times Square-ish.
Well, because it's all
Where is it? That's in Hollywood somewhere?
It's in Hollywood. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you want to see a little less costumed people harassing you for 20 minutes? Take a walk down the Walk of Fame.
Oh, no.
Sounds like home.
I was jogging once in L.A. I was there for an event with Sports Illustrated, and it was early in the morning, so I was jet lagged, obviously, so I was waking up early, and I went for a jog, and I was jogging on a part that had the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and someone, threw something at me.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever told this story. I was, my hotel was in the hall, was by the Walk of Fame, because I'm thinking, I'm going to L.A., I might as well stay in Hollywood. Because isn't that where everyone stays? And turns out that's not where you stay unless you're like a dope who doesn't know anything about LA. So on my last day there, I'm walking home from my third trip to in and out for that week.
Yeah.
And a guy who's walking around very menacingly and very weirdly is like being odd. Sure enough, four or five cop cars pull up out of nowhere, guns drawn.
Whoa.
Guns drawn. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And this is happening literally 15 feet away from me. They're like, get against the wall right now. And apparently this person stabbed somebody a block or two up. And that's why the red spots were on his shirt. I didn't even notice that until.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so
gracious.
I watched an actual arrest of a serious violent offender 10 feet away from my hotel room.
Crazy. You're also born and raised in New York City. You've never seen anything like that.
That's
before?
What I was about to say. Yeah. It sounds like a Tuesday around here, bro.
I know, but you don't expect that on your vacation. I was chilling for the weekend. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be a fun week. I'm gonna go home.
You think all crime stops in LA because you're on vacation?
Yeah, Maggie.
Can you stop murdering each other just for a couple days? Because I gotta get this in and out burger animal style.
I'm here for palm trees and in and out. I'm not here for seeing violent arrest. By the way, that's what I learned. LAPD, they got infrared beam. I was like, ooh, they're serious around here. I was like, what is that red light on that guy's chest? Oh. That guy has a gun drawn.
It's the beginning of a Biggie song. Let's get to Bogus. You want to put it up on the poll question, EJ? What's the most overrated tourist destination? Bogus, what's the latest going on in your world?
Well, he didn't look much better than Manny in a Westchester batting cage. Yankee second baseman Jazz Chisholm flirting with a zero in the home run derby last night in Atlanta, finishing with three. and maybe we'll see him again in the Derby.
I mash.
If I got more than 20 homers by the half next year, I do it again and actually try to hit homers every swing instead of, you know, trying to keep my swing. No, it's not that I wasn't trying to hit homers. I was trying to keep my swing and hit homers instead of just trying to hit everything in the air.
Let me tell you something. If this was the Derby off, ooh, Jazz Chisholm would have won this. Or, excuse me, the double off.
There it is.
Yeah. A lot of gappers.
A lot of gappers. A lot of warning track power.
What's more embarrassing, actually, to have zero home runs or to have three? Because three is basically zero.
To have zero.
No, he was happy to get those three.
Yeah.
He was.
You can't have zero.
He was taking pitches with the clock running, too, which was crazy.
Yeah, why was he taking so many pitches? Was he
tired?
No, he's bad at hitting home runs.
I think he was also kind of barking a little bit about his batting, the guy who was throwing the BP, no?
Have I ever shared my home run derby obsession with you guys? I think I have.
I don't think so.
Oh, you know all those kids in the outfield who catch the balls?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What if one day one of them robbed a home run and jumped over?
Happened last night.
Yes.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He was at the wall. He didn't rob that.
He robbed that. He definitely robbed that for Junior Caminero's.
Watch it again.
This was the final round, Junior Caminero's.
Oh, I went to bed at that point.
It was about his 7th or 8th home run. A kid scaled the wall and robbed the home run.
No.
And they had to count it because they're like, that would have went over the fence.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It finally happened?
It happened. You missed it.
Spider-Man was out there.
What time did that thing end? It was like midnight.
Like 10:40, I think, 10:45 when it ended.
Way later than that because I think it was later than that.
I don't think it was.
It goes fast after the first eight.
What's that?
The first eight feel like a long time, and then after that, it goes pretty quickly. So I think I was asleep too, but 10:45-ish, 11 sounds right.
I just texted you that video, Pearl, if you want to watch it.
They should have escorted that kid right off the field.
That should bet in our lead today. No one told me someone robbed a home run.
Yeah, someone robbed a home run, and again, it was in the final round too. It could have made a difference in the final total.
Sounds like that kid had some money on Cal Raleigh.
Aren't they instructed don't rob a home run?
We learned that yesterday.
You see that ball coming at you and you feel that warning track underneath your feet? I'm jumping too.
Also, what are they going to do? Sorry, you can't do it, 10 years from now when the All-Star game comes back to Atlanta and you're a full-grown adult? Yeah, I thought two people collided into each other last night in the outfield. I saw that. Two girls.
I love that.
I kept getting bad memories of when Pete Alonso won his first home run derby. Remember, there was a kid that, like, tore his ACL out there.
Oh, no way.
And Pete Alonso was just sitting there dancing because he's smashing home runs 500 feet. I'm like, oh, there's a guy on the stretchers, Pete. Maybe stop the dancing for 2 seconds.
Well, he's also a human Labrador retriever.
True.
Yeah. I also like when Carl Ravitch calls a home run and it gets, like, 7 feet before the warning track.
Look at this one.
Yeah, that, by the way, every time I've ever been to a live game, I'm like, oh, that's a home run. And then it's like a pop up to center field. You guys do that too, right? Where you think off the bat. Oh,
does anyone else miss the back or just me?
We all do.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but. Did anyone notice Jeff Passan getting more camera time than anyone last night? Just like walking right behind the hitter every time and smiling. What the hell, dude?
He was having fun.
I think he was covering the event.
No, he was more than covering the event. He was on camera more than any single hitter. And he did it. He's great. I'm a big fan of Jeff Passan, but it was weird. And it got to the point like...
He normally doesn't do that. He is not normally the sideline reporter. Like, I think he was having a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, he was really good. And there was one time where Tim Kurchin ran behind the catcher because he knew he was on camera.
Yep.
Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
So he hustled to get out of frame like a pro. Passing is just.
I'm always very impressed by the person. He's done it a couple times now who is doing the Spanish and English all in the same thing. So he'll ask the question in English, then ask it in Spanish, then take the response in Spanish. And he'll translate it to English and then go back to Spanish. Like, I obviously you're bilingual, but I'm still impressed by it.
Literally something that I had to do since I was 7 years old.
Well, I can still be impressed. No? Back to Bogus.
Second job that you can have.
On the other end of the first round derby spectrum was Pirates outfielder O'Neill Cruz.
118, 119 from Cruz. The last one, 513. He did it.
He did it.
You got to be kidding. O'Neill Cruz has broken the derby. The first 500-foot home run tracked outside of Coors or Aaron Judge in Miami. Nobody in the history of this ballpark, which is now in its 9th season, has ever hit a ball that far.
That's Kevin Brown on the ESPN StatCast broadcast. The 513-footer, or 11 Maggie steps, helped Cruz reach the semifinals, where he lost to Cal Raleigh, who then hit three more homers than Junior Caminero to win the Derby. Raleigh's the first catcher to win it, and he ends a three-year run by Dominican players winning the Derby. Also yesterday, Cal committed to Team USA for the upcoming World Baseball Classic, and he was penciled in as the cleanup hitter for the AL in tonight's All-Star Game. Paul Skeens, as I've been saying all morning, has the first pitch shortly after 8 Eastern. The Jets have some young stars to pay. They took care of Garrett Wilson yesterday, the receiver inking a 4-year extension, said to include $90 million guaranteed. That's the fourth biggest guarantee ever for a wideout. No snark this time, just news. Paul George had his right knee scoped yesterday after getting hurt during a workout. The Sixers say he'll be reevaluated near training camp in September. And Angel Reese had her 9th straight double-double last night, 22 points, 10 rebounds. But she and the Sky took a 91-78 home loss from the Mercury. Dawana Bonner led Phoenix with 22 and 11 boards. Guys, back to you.
Sorry, Pearl, you want to say something? No.
Oh, that was a great visual. Yeah. Petrified head shake. No.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Great thought.
I was saying something.
I'm glad it's a TV show sometimes.
No, I said Bogues, and then I don't think you heard me.
I did not.
Yeah. No, it's totally fine. I had a funny comment about the Home Run Derby that has escaped me.
Okay. This is very funny from our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, where our own Andrew Kaplan is talking about Buddy Hield, kind of implying that the Roman Colosseum was overrated because Maximus from the movie Gladiator turns out is not a real person, and that ruined the experience for him. Now, Kaplan only imagining EJ vacationing in the most dangerous places in the world after that harrowing story about Los Angeles.
By the way, I looked at a list of most overrated vacation destinations or tourists. Empire State Building, number 4.
Yeah,
because I was right.
Obvious. I have a finger on the pulse. That's what I have.
Do you know what was number 2? The Mona Lisa. I get that.
It's smaller than people think.
It's not much.
I haven't been more east of Babylon, New York, so I mean.
But don't try to walk to Paris or anything.
I like the Mona Lisa. I saw the Mona Lisa at the Louvre.
Yeah, but I could see that being called overrated.
Just because it's smaller. And the crowds are so big, you're never going to get up close.
Also, that's the issue.
The painting's not that great. That's the other thing. Like, there's nothing about that. We put value on the Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa itself is just the Mona Lisa.
But I think that's the issue, is that when you go to the Louvre, you have to be among... It has to be 500 people packed into that room.
Yeah.
And you got to like slowly work your way through this crowd. Now, if you get to do one of the private tours or be one of the special people, you can actually get really close to it. Like, even when you're in that crowd, you're still about a good 40 feet from the actual picture. So getting your selfie, I was able to do it, but getting your selfie next to the Mona Lisa is a little tricky. Now, if you're one of those folks that got to just cut the line and just walk right up to it, which we saw a bunch of them, I was like, that's cool. You're getting a really close up look to
it. You pay for that.
I think you have to pay for it.
Or you know somebody.
Or you're famous.
Is it a Space Mountain?
Yeah, I saw
Carl Anthony
Towns was there last week with Jalen Brunson. They walked right up to the Louvre. And I was like, see, these guys,
if you are the unlucky person who's trying to see the Mona Lisa and you have to stand behind Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you're like trying to peek up.
7 feet tall. It's ridiculous.
But Carl Anthony Towns, baby, yes.
Mona Lisa is clearly an overrated painting. I don't even think this is a debate, right? Like, if you see like a Van Gogh, that blows you away.
Oh,
you see the Mona Lisa, it's just like a lady.
888-710-4ISN. We got to take a break. 888-710-4476. I think we are out of our depth on this one.
Probably. I'm not. I've studied many, many interpretations of the Mona Lisa. I took art history. I'm in on this.
All right. Coming up, the most impactful non-quarterback this NFL season. Who is it? We'll tell you next. Get back to the NFL and college football in just a moment, asking you who is going to be the most impactful non-quarterback this upcoming season. But first, Joe is in San Francisco. Bleacher Report put out a list, top 100 NBA players. All right, summertime, that kind of thing happens. But fans were up in arms because Kobe Bryant, they believe, was ranked too low. He was ranked 11th. Joe, did the list get it wrong?
Yeah, because Kobe won all the championships as a Laker, just like Jordan did as a Bull, just like Magic did as a Laker, and LeBron and Shaq, they went from team to team trying to win championship. That's why I respect Kobe and Jordan and Magic more.
I get it, Joe. It does nothing for you that LeBron James went back to Cleveland and won a title for his hometown, or no?
Yeah, but he played for four different teams trying to win titles. I mean, he just jumped around from team to team. I was a LeBron fan when he was with Cleveland.
Right, right.
And then he won the championship in Cleveland. He left, went somewhere else. He's been with two teams since then. So, I mean, you know.
Okay. You know, that's you're docking why him for that.
That's why they respect the Laker guys more, because they stayed with the team they was with.
Yeah, Joe, I hear you, but also can we also call it like it is, which is the Lakers tend to have some more advantages than other teams because they are a free agent destination and because, you know, guys will force trades to go to the Lakers. Like, if you're playing for New Orleans or Cleveland or another team that doesn't have that built-in kind of advantage, the Knicks should have that, but they blew it because their owner was so bad for so long. Now they may have it back, but do you see
so
it that
so you're saying
way?
That dings Kobe a little bit.
I'm just saying it dings any of the Lakers who stayed their whole career with the Lakers. And do you ding Kareem because he started with Milwaukee and then went to L.A.? I don't think people look at it that way.
Right, but then he wasn't immediately a winner in L.A., so I think he... Yeah, it is a little complicated. I have a ding that I don't think you guys are going to like.
What's that?
I mean, Kobe won those titles in a little bit of a valley of the NBA. Like, he didn't beat Steph Curry, and he didn't beat, like, prime LeBron.
Which ones? The first three?
The last two.
Oh, the last two.
Okay. Gasol. They beat a Celtics team that got old in front of our eyes.
Were they really, the reigning really champs?
Really, really good. But, yeah, they were really good. I just think that I wonder if that Kobe-Gasol team, how they would have fared against the prime Golden State teams. Like, were they...
And then you should give extra credit to LeBron for beating one of those prime Golden State teams before Kevin Durant got there.
Yeah,
yes,
no, but. I mean, listen, I do. That Cleveland title is everything for LeBron. That, to me, is the most impressive thing he did in his career by far. It's amazing.
Yeah. But you could argue, though, Kobe Bryant dealt with a Western Conference that was a bear. I mean, you're talking about playing against early in his career, like the Kings, the Spurs, then the Spurs got great again. The Mavericks were great.
The Spurs were always swimming around. But he kind of missed the great Kings, didn't he?
Shaq. They played in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm
only talking about the last two.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Celtics
You're right about it. And the first, I'm not talking about the Shaq ones. I'm talking, because to me, the most important ones are Kobe's last two and LeBron's Cleveland. Those are the real game changers. Because Kobe won without Shaq and LeBron won without the Heatles. So
I don't think you have to put a caveat. I think that Celtics team was still really good. Am I doing this right? Weren't they the reigning champs?
No.
It was a year in between.
It was a year in between. Because the Lakers were going for their second title in a row. The year before, the Celtics got hurt.
They beat Dwight Howard,
right? That's what it was.
Yeah, they beat Dwight Howard, yes.
Yeah, I thought I thought like the NBA really was in a kind of a down spot right there. That's my opinion, but I don't know.
I mean,
to judge by your competition.
Yeah, I mean, before that, to beat the Magic, they beat probably the most talented Denver Nuggets team since this one that won recently with Melo and Chauncey.
I wonder why you think
that. Well, Melo and Chauncey Billups, that was a really good team.
Pearl.
Those are really talented teams. J.R. Smith ended up winning a title with LeBron James. And then they beat the Rockets.
So weird. Like, today's show, it feels like EJ's making a strong case for the Miami Hurricanes and ACC, and now he's got a mellow take. What's next? Jalen Brunson is the best left-handed point guard on this list here?
Yes, the Denver Nuggets were not a good team. Sure.
Jalen Brunson is the best left-handed guard ever.
Also, the mellow in New York years are not exactly a high point. He won one playoff series.
I know, but I think New Yorkers view Carmelo way more favorably than the rest of the world. That's my opinion.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Okay, we'll get to the NFL, and Brett McMurphy from the SEC Media Days joins us.